Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
Fatherhood is a biblical concept. Even in a society which we may not see a beautiful image of fatherhood, I think we as the church, we as God's community, we're called to honor fatherhood, to model it. And so if you are a father in here, we value you. We thank you. You are pillars in this community. And not just pillars for the church, but as fathers, I believe that you are pillars for society as well. A society that desperately needs fathers. You may not have biological children of your own, but maybe you're a father in some sense. There's people you mentor, younger people that you look after. And to you as well, I think this day is about honoring you, saying thank you. And know that the work that you do, and it can so often be hard, it can be painful at times. Just don't underestimate. Do not underestimate the power of what you can do in your children's lives or the people that you look after. It was God that designed fatherhood. And that's what I want to focus on for a few minutes this afternoon. Because we need to remind ourselves first that God is our Father. I love it as Jesus teaches us how to pray. He starts with the two words, our Father in heaven. And you only need to stop and think about that for one moment to realize that that's an immensely relational way to speak to the all-powerful, almighty God in heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who is all-powerful, all-present, almighty. And yet Jesus somehow says, we can go before this same Father, this same God, and call him Father. It's something that reminds us each and every day, no matter who you are, that God is primarily relational, that he is after your heart. He's not after how you behave. He's not after what you deserve. He wants you. He wants you to understand that you are a daughter and you are a son of the living God. You see, the tension is, of course, that we live in the fallen world, a broken society, where good fatherhood is not always modeled to us. And in a room like this, there will be many here with broken relationships with a father, perhaps an absent father, perhaps a father that you had and lost. We see a fractured image of what a father can be. And sometimes our tension and our question and our frustration is, well, is that how God is? We look at the worldly definition of fatherhood. We look at our own experiences of fatherhood, and without realizing so often, we can project them back onto God, with the result that God becomes or seems to us a distant father or an absent father. But I just want to share a story with you of one of the guys in our church who encountered and experienced such a broken version of fatherhood. And yet his revelation, I think, is going to help each and every person in this place today to understand what it means to say that God truly is our Father. Why don't you have a look at the screens and we'll go from there.
I remember once seeing a dad play fighting with his son in the supermarket, and I just remember this internal implosion of just pain, every negative emotion, and thinking, why don't I have a dad?
So of course it's Father's Day, and my biological dad lives on this road. And I spent my whole life practically not knowing my dad. I met him a few years ago, and this is the road that he lives on. So, of course, for Father's Day, it's just a pretty powerful place to come because it reminds me of what I would see as the failure that he was.
You know, so that first encounter, if you're comfortable talking about it, do you want, like, what was that like, that first time.
All right, so how it all came about was a sibling of mine got in touch on Facebook, and then he happened to have a family tree on his Facebook page, like of all the different siblings. So I then saw that I had a sister, and as a result of meeting her, I saw a picture of my dad for the first time, and that was mental because I had no idea what my dad looked like. Within 2 weeks, my sister took me to meet him on this road.
Wow. Yeah.
So, living without my dad was normalised for me. So, you know, when it got to Father's Day or Christmas, there wasn't necessarily this deep woe for him not being there. I think that sense of him being absent was just an everyday thing. The kind of the big events were normalised, so yeah. It's normal that I don't have a dad. It's normal that I don't see him at Christmas, you know, all of that. Naturally, as a teenager, you are, it's literally like prime years for your identity and forming it and finding out who you are. And to, on top of that, not know your earthly father and then to be shunted between homes all the time, it was crazy.
How many homes were you in out of?
Five. So four foster homes and a care home. So there's that fact of moving between homes and then on top of that, not knowing your dad. So the smallest thing could trigger a sense of pain, anger a lot when I was younger, jealousy, fear, whatever, like anything could trigger that.
It's funny, like, since I've got to know you, like, you are generally one of the most humble, authentic, real people, like, that I know. And so if I was to guess your upbringing from the first time I met you, I would have gone strong family, probably grew up with a bit of money and went to a good school. Yeah. But, yeah, hearing your story of your upbringing, it's the complete opposite. So how did that actually, how did your story change so much that you are the man that you are today?
When I decided to follow Jesus and become a Christian, it wasn't because I had this fear of going to hell. It wasn't because I had a strong religious upbringing, but it was because I wanted God to be a father like I begin to hear about. I wanted him to be a father so that I wouldn't look like other foster kids. And so I remember when I gave my life to Christ, it was at home in my bedroom, and I still vividly remember saying, God, if you are real, would you be my father? And I just felt like him embrace me. The reason why I'm not what I could be is because that's just the product of following like Jesus and having a relationship with God the Father, because that's where I've centered myself. I haven't centered myself in, you know, five homes, nobody loves me, nobody cares, or I got expelled or whatever else, but I've centered myself because of the community of church and God and his word. I've centered myself in that. I am more a likeness of him than I am of my earthly father. I'm more a likeness of the culture of heaven than I am the culture of being a care leaver or a foster kid, because that's where I've centered myself. I'm going to take you to where I live, and it's literally not that far from where my dad lives, which is the craziest thing.
And you live here with your wife, Joanna?
My wifey, yeah.
How long have you been married?
It will be 2 years in August. It's my house.
Number one?
Yeah.
We're at your house?
Yeah.
You're married.
Mm-hmm.
This is your first home as a married couple.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you'd be here? Like, as a kid, as a teenager, did you ever think you'd be at this place you are now?
I was so caught up with the immediacy of survival.
Right.
And where am I going to live when I'm 18? Or what home am I going to live in? The concept of a healthy, sustainable future just wasn't even in my head. So did I ever think I'd go to uni? No. Did I ever think I'd work for a broadcaster? No. Did I think that I'd be married? Hell no. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
The people who go through the care system, generally speaking, do not have these sorts of outcomes, you know? And so it's just, like, I just think it's a marker of God at work that I am healthy enough to be able to flourish at work, to flourish, like, with my family. And a lot of people who grow up without a dad will know what I mean when I say you kind of have this open wound where you're always looking for that father figure. And I remember one day I was going for a run in a park, just standard run, and this stranger came and he started running next to me and he started saying to me, your technique's wrong. Like, this guy's so weird. But he began to, you know, show me good technique. He ran with me for about 5 minutes. And I was like, you know, I was kind. I was like, okay, cool, listen to him. Then he just left me when he thought that I picked up the technique. It was so weird because the moment he left, it was as if God was saying, the same way that I've just brought this random person to teach you something very trivial is the same way that I'm going to bring people, different people, random people, into your life at different seasons to teach you the things that I want to teach you. That is how I will father you. And just the power of that spoke volumes. God saying to me, you don't need to have any fear or worry about a father, because for every season, I'm going to carry you.
You've had opportunity now to go and speak to other kids who are currently in foster care.
Yeah.
You've gone into schools and all that to share your testimony. It's almost like your greatest weakness, if we can say that, has propelled you, because of God, propelled you into the future, and now is becoming one of your greatest strengths.
God has literally taken all of the broken pieces and he is using it as a weapon for him and for his name. You know, there's a picture up here, since on telly. Like, there's a picture here. And this is like me with the Duchess of Cambridge. This was a care event. And I went and I spoke to a room full of people about my story. And I think the testimony God's given me, I'm able to use that to encourage other people. Teachers are confounded when I speak to them about the story of what God's done in my life, because they're like, how do you get a vulnerable kid who's getting expelled in the care system to now go to one of the best shoonies in the world? And what I love is that it's got nothing to do with my ability, but all about how God has intervened in my life. And I think that's the beauty of God being a father, is that you slowly but surely begin to look like him. You no longer look like the brokenness that you're from, but you begin to reflect God in your life. There'll be people at church who are fatherless today, of all days. There'll be people who have trauma from their childhood, people who may have good fathers, but there's still some deep need. And what's amazing is that God fulfills those needs.
How good is that? Let's give it up. I just think there's so much in there that you can go from. But the interesting thing is that God, this God that Ashley was talking about, doesn't favor Ashley above anyone else. But the reality is that if he can do it for Ashley, he can do it for whatever your story is here in this room this afternoon. We genuinely believe that Ashley's story, and of course in different contexts, in different ways for different people, but that story can be your story. Wherever you've come from, whatever your background is. And the one thing that just really grabbed me from what he said was when he said, that's the beauty of God being a father. You slowly but surely begin to look like him. You no longer look like the brokenness that you're from, but you begin to reflect God in your life. I just want to build on that thought very quickly. The thought of a restored reflection. A restored reflection. He did reflect one reality. But then he met Jesus, he understood who God was as his father, and now he reflects something completely different. And I hope and I believe that we can all come to a place where we see our heavenly father and not our past when we look in the mirror. We see what's ahead of us, we see the future and the purpose and his grace, his love, his mercy and his forgiveness reflecting from us rather than everything that has defined us in the past. Whether it's a care home or a lack of a father or a bad father or abuse or trauma or whatever it might be. Our Father is in the business of transformation. He does not leave people where he finds them. And I just want to read this beautiful verse from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, which to me demonstrates the character of the Father's heart. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we all are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is the God that we serve. He can recalibrate. He can restore us so that we reflect him. And I don't know what labels you have on yourself this afternoon. I don't know whether you feel like your past is holding you back or hindering you, whether others seem to have a step up ahead of you. But I promise you, what God does as our Father, as sons and daughters in this room, he levels the playing field and says, all of you are loved, all of you are known. And if you will walk with him, he can lead us all towards purpose and indeed building his church and impacting a society and a community. So what is it about this Father's heart? What is it that can transform us? What are the rocks on which we can base this truth? Seeing like Ashley did, what it means to engage with God as not a distant God, a legalistic God, an angry God, but a God who is our Father, a God who we can say Dad to. We wear the Father's identity. We wear his identity. And so we can find ourselves, root ourselves, and center ourselves in him, not our earthly heritage. Romans 8 tells us that we did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but instead we received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, which sort of means daddy, father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. 2 Corinthians 6:18, Paul is talking about the words of the Lord and he says, I will be a father to you and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Our status, if we're going to walk that path that Ashley has been walking, the path from our past into everything that we are in Christ, we need to realize, number one, that our status has changed, that our identity is in nothing of this world anymore. Our identity is in him. That's what the Holy Spirit comes and does in each and every one of us. He gives us that spirit of adoption. Where before we might have said, I am lost, I am broken, we can now say, I am a son or a daughter. I am an heir of Christ. And that becomes the root upon which we can base our whole life. Did you hear the language that Ashley used when he talked about centering himself in a different place? He had encountered that reality. He now lives his whole life from a different place from where he used to live it. He has centered himself in a new identity. You'll realize as well, though, he didn't just talk about just centering himself in a new identity and staying there. He uses that beautiful analogy of the guy that came while he was running and just taught him a little bit, gave him a bit of direction and then sort of left. And God saying to him, you know what? That's how I'm going to father you. I'm going to bring people into your life and they're going to help you and encourage you. We need to realize that if we're going to see our lives transformed by this revelation that God is our Father, we don't just need to understand that our identity is now in him, that we're sons and daughters and heirs, but we also need to understand that he will work with us. He will work with us on the journey. He's actually going to help us in practical and tangible ways. In Hebrews 12, verse 7, the writer of Hebrews is talking about discipline, and this isn't discipline in the form of punishment. This is discipline in the form of how to better yourself, how to end up more like the person that God created you to be. And it's not a journey that we undertake by ourselves. It's one that's fully empowered by the work of the Spirit within us. The writer said, it is for discipline that you should endure, because God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I wonder if you know today that with God being your Father, he will actually teach you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will not stand far off and let you try and work it all out by yourself. But he will bring people in as you run who will just adjust your technique, who will say, you know what, if you did it like this, you're actually going to be more effective in the way that you run. That's what it means. That's what the writer of the Hebrews is saying to the people that he's writing the letter to, he's saying, look, you know that fathers discipline their kids, but it's for their good. It's so that you might produce a fruit of righteousness. I believe that this father's heart, this understanding of God as our father, could transform not just the people in this room, but the city that is outside of these doors, that so desperately needs this revelation, a revelation of that they're loved for who they are, that they are sons and daughters, that they're noticed, that they're seen. But furthermore, they don't have to stay the way that they are, with every bit of hurt and brokenness and the things that we can beat ourselves up about so often. We have a father that comes in and says, I'm going to help you. If you will come on this journey, if you will walk with me, if you will be obedient to what I say, I'm going to teach you what it looks like to be holy, to live a life of righteousness. Our status in front of God is already righteous because of what Christ did, but we can start to reflect that. You know, I talked about restored reflections, because the third part of this transformational experience that God brings us on is based, of course, on the greatest value that the Bible gives to us, and that is love. Understanding that God is our Father is a deep, deep understanding that you are loved, that you are noticed, that you are seen. Every deepest longing of the human heart is found in who God is. 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love that the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. As Jesus went to that cross, died on our behalf, taking the sins of humanity on his shoulders and rising from the grave 3 days later, I believe it was the greatest demonstration of love that humanity has ever witnessed. A cost paid so high for you and I that we cannot even begin to imagine. Sometimes we need to realize, as we go about our everyday life, as the stresses of life, the strains of life, the labels of life, the past that has so often defined us, we walk through, that can be shattered by an understanding that you are so loved that God would send Jesus to die on your behalf. It's something where we can root our life from. Your new identity, your understanding that God takes you on the journey, but crucially and above everything, that in every season, no matter how far away you think you've fallen, no matter what you think that you've done that would separate you from God's love, the Bible is so clear. He loves you anyway. He sees everything, he knows everything, and he loves you anyway. So what can we do about it? Like Ashley, say we're getting this revelation. But what does that look like Monday to Saturday as we walk out of here? To me, I think it's quite simple. And these simple things that Ashley has now been doing for years, that has just slowly but surely started to mold the picture of who Jesus is through Ashley's life. Listen. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to the Word of God as they bear witness to you who you are. It's why church is so important, because church is a place of encouragement. It's a place of acceptance. It's a place where people will see past what your outer image is showing, and they will see potential in you. They will see who you were designed to be. It's what the church is designed to do, to look through the brokenness of humanity like God looked through it and say, behind that, I see a son or a daughter of God. And all he wants to do is find you, love you, restore you, and bring you into every bit of purpose. But we need to commit to listening. To listening to those around us, the good voices of those around us. To listening to the word. To listening to God's promises and actually believing them. Even the scriptures I've read today, when God says you are his son or daughter, do you believe it? Are you prepared to listen to that and say, maybe that is the reality? Maybe that is the truth. Not only listening, we also need to journey with God. We need to understand that perhaps not every answer will be given in one moment. That if God is our Father, as the Bible tells us, that's not an instantaneous relationship, it's a lifelong relationship. It's one that we're going to walk with God step by step by step by step. We're going to stumble, we're going to make mistakes, we're going to drift from the path. But we need a journey with him and realize that as we drift, he'll drift with us and bring us back. He will walk every step with us. He will pick us up from every mistake. But we need to realize that this life is a journey, and it's a journey that's going all the way into eternity. We need to be prepared and engaged with a continual learning process. Society has so broken so many of us that it's a long learning process sometimes to even learn who we are, who we were designed to be, why the skills and the talents within us were put there. Will you commit to that journey this afternoon? Will you commit to that walk, even if you don't know everything right now? Will you commit to just listening to God and saying, I want to walk with you? And finally, and this is sometimes the hardest one, will you let God love you? And will you let people love you? The best way that the Father's heart is reflected on this earth is through people. He uses people. He uses his church. The call of the church is to love others as the way that Christ loved us, to be self-sacrificial and costly and generous in the way that we love those around us. And that is a challenge for some in this room, to live that way. But it's probably also a challenge for many in this room to let others love you. It's hard to get a revelation of how much God loves you if you won't let the people around you love you. If you are pushing people away, if you distance people, if you stay on the fringes, if you isolate yourself. It's scary, terrifying to be vulnerable in front of people, to step into a relational position where someone is actually allowed to help you and love you. But for many people in this place, if you want to get a revelation of the Father's heart, make a commitment to let others love you. And for us as the church, we want to commit. We want to commit to love you regardless of your weaknesses, to love you without judgment. We want to commit to loving you practically, not just telling you we love you, but self-sacrificially, inconveniencing ourselves for you. That's how this community operates. For some of you, you need to let us love you. For others, you need to commit saying, you know what? I want to love others like Jesus loved me. I want to get out of my own head, out of my own schedule, and just step out in faith somewhere. Be generous to someone. Love someone. I think it's incredible that this Father's heart concept that could end up so conceptual, so theoretical, Jesus gave us an answer, and the answer was his church. In here, you can experience and learn about the Father's love. Because as I listened to Ashley's video a few times, I realized that he makes quite a number of declarations in there of the result of learning that God is his Father. And I just want to share these declarations with you. And perhaps as you're here in this moment, you need to start making some of these declarations as well. Because they're all true and they're all biblical. Ashley used no Bible verses as he spoke, but he spoke almost the word of God directly. Because, of course, God's experience always lines up exactly to his word. Ashley has simply encountered the word of God in action. And that's what God wants to do in each and every one of your lives. I am more of a likeness of him than I am of my earthly father. My past no longer defines me, but my Father in heaven defines me. In every season, my heavenly Father will carry me through. My Father journeys with me through the deepest wounds of pain, anger, jealousy, and fear. He takes the broken pieces of my life, and he will use it as a weapon for him and for his name. God has fulfilled my every need, longing, and desire. I want to read that one more time because I know that it needs to settle for some people in this room. I am a more of a likeness of him than I am of my earthly father. My past no longer defines me, but now my Father in heaven defines me. In every season, my heavenly Father will carry me through. He journeys with me through my deepest wounds of pain, of anger, of jealousy, and of fear. My God takes the broken pieces of my life and uses it as a weapon for him and for his name. He has fulfilled and will fulfill my every need, longing, and desire. This is biblical truth. This is what it means to have God as your Father. This is what it means to have a restored reflection. No longer are you constantly looking back to the past that defined you, held you back, hurt you, broke you, caused you to live in the trauma or the anxiety or the stress that you live in today. Your Father in heaven says, no. That is still a reality. We are not going to deny that, but there is a new future for you. Let me redeem, let me restore the future that is ahead of you. I want you to leave a legacy. And this is my final point on the Father's heart. for a community that understands that God is their father, it will not only affect this generation, but the ones to come. Because we know of this brokenness. We know of this brokenness in society, this brokenness in the concept of fatherhood. But I promise you, as the church rises up, as this community starts to demonstrate sacrificial love to those around, where people can come in broken and hurting and realize that they are accepted and loved and not judged, as they start to experience the Father's heart, the only output is that they start to give the Father's heart to those that they meet as well. And then that stops just affecting this community, but starts affecting the entire community that this community is linked to. And if there are, say, 1,500 people in this room, and we all know a certain number of people, suddenly we get into the thousands, then the hundreds of thousands very, very quickly. I want to be a church that leaves a legacy, that doesn't just understand the Father's heart for itself, but rather gets out into this world and says, you know what, we know a Father that can redefine your past. We know a Father that can redeem you from wherever you're at, whichever pit you're in. He will restore you. He is the restorer of the broken. Will you stand to your feet?
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.